All right, so I was filling in at a church a while back, and it was, I'd been on the road for quite a few days, and you know, some mornings you don't think you have it, right? I mean, I'm doing my best, but it's not all there. So I preached the sermon and went through the service and was at the back of the church waiting for, you know, everyone to leave. And as I'm shaking everyone's hand, this little boy comes up to me and hands me a dollar bill. And so I thanked him and I leaned down and I said, "So what's this for?" And he said, "It's for you." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because my daddy said you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Today, we're going to talk about money. So, if that makes you uncomfortable, sorry. But it is a subject matter that comes up quite a bit, especially in the New Testament. And I think it's real important for us as Christians to understand there's so much negative press. All the church does is ask for money. All the televangelist does is ask for money. All these people, all they want is money, 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 money. Well, you know, in some cases that may be true. But just because in some cases money's not handled correctly or talked about correctly doesn't mean we should ignore it completely. Scriptures that we had this morning talk about giving in two different ways, two different types of gifts. The first passage was a quotation from Jesus when he was talking about the Pharisees who were very particular and legalistic about exactly tithing. Tithing means giving 10% of what they had. Whether it was the herbs from their garden or the wages they earned, they were very, very particular and made sure that it was exactly 10%. But apparently, according to Jesus, they were neglecting the fact that they should also, equally as important in their lives, have mercy, justice, and love. The second passage is about an exigent circumstance, something that we know quite a bit about from the last 2 weeks. Paul is taking up a collection in the church in Corinth for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. They've been persecuted, they can't find work, they're just barely surviving, and they're surviving on the gifts of the new Gentile churches that are coming up around them. We see that in Houston. Both Houston Brown, who this church has reached out with money for his family as he goes through this medical crisis, and the city of Houston. These circumstances call for us to give. Just like we talked about at the children's sermon, they call for us to give before we think of ourselves. Because of these circumstances, and we see heroes rising up throughout the week. And that's vital. And that's the two different types of giving that the New Testament talks about. Tithing, a regular, consistent, boring, difficult giving that happens all the time. And then those offerings that need to be poured out when there is an exigent circumstance that requires it. But see, there's one thing about giving as a Christian that Jesus and Paul and some of the others were very quick to point out. You see, in the ancient world, Roman and Greek religions had lots of gods. They had lots of different gods that they prayed to. And these gods were a bit capricious. They were arbitrary. And the only way you got them to be on your side and to help you was to give them gifts. Give them offerings. And if you didn't do your offering right, then you might end up wandering the ocean for 10 years. Just look at Odysseus. I mean, that's what the whole book from Iliad and that's what they're about. But that's not the way our God works. Our giving, like Jesus talks about, and like Paul talks about, is not based on doing something in order to get God to do something. You might hear that from time to time on television or in different places, that I'm going to give this so that God will bless me. Well, the New Testament does not talk about God in that way. We're not like the ancient Greeks. As a matter of fact, we're put against them in opposition. We are not like them. We don't have to give in order to appease God. Our gifts are in response for what God has already done for each and every one of us. Now, giving is a very personal thing. It's a very important thing for spiritual development. Each of us, we like to read our Bible, we need to pray. We do these things to help us grow as Christians and to find new depths in our relationship with God. Giving is just as equally as important. Giving is important not so that we can have nice things at the church, not even so that we can help others, but it's also giving to help us learn how to be closer to God. Setting our priorities in the correct order is something that's vitally important. Today, because giving is extremely personal for each one of us, I have asked Jim and Annette Wells to share their personal testimony on giving with the congregation. Jim?
Good morning. Good morning. When Kevin asked Annette and I to share our testimony about tithing, we hesitated, not because we don't believe in tithing, because we feel we are called to tithe, and we have done so for a number of years. But we weren't sure we could offer anything different from anybody else's feeling testimony about tithing. But as we talked together, well, we came to the conclusion there are probably many testimonies about tithing, because between the two of us, we have three. There's Annette's story, there's my story, and then there's the story of us as a couple for the last 40 years. As a matter of fact, 40 tomorrow. I'm going to start with my story, which is the shorter, I think. My parents were church members, but they weren't regular attendees. I can remember my mother sending me to Sunday school with some money and a little pre-printed envelope that we gave to the Sunday school. And then as I grew up in the church, and I became involved with the church youth groups, I would put money in the collection plate on Sunday. And then when I went away to college, I palled around with a group of guys who were from different religious backgrounds, and we would go to each other's churches, and I would always put some money in a collection plate, but that had nothing to do with my income. And for many years, I had been away from the church, and so I had never really tithed until I met Annette. And so that's my first part of my story, okay? And Annette's story is quite different from mine, and I'm going to relate her story, because if you know her, you know she can get very emotional about things close to her heart. So I'm going to tell the story, Annette's story, and she tells me that her mother enrolled her in the church's nursery when she was an infant, and from there she went through Sunday school, and she had many teachers who impressed upon her the importance of tithing, maybe one especially that did that. And although she had no money, no income, she knew that in her heart that you were to give 10% of what you have to the church. This became an incident within their family when she was 16 and she got her first job. And she was paid $100, and so when she told her mother that she was going to put $10 in the church plate on Sunday, And her mother objected, and her father more than objected. They were low income, and $10 meant a lot to them then. But her mother relented, and we don't know exactly when, but we do know that her mother later started tithing herself, and she did so the rest of her 99-plus years. Now to our story as a couple. When Annette and I decided to marry, we had to have the dreaded financial discussion. It's what Annette called yours, mine, and ours. And she let me know that I could do whatever I wanted to with my income, but as far as her income was concerned, she was going to continue to tithe. So I let her know right away that there was not going to be any yours and mine. It was going to be ours. And that we would certainly tithe and give 10% of our income to the Lord. Because I had not just met Annette and married her. I had known her for several years. And by then, I knew of her character and her honesty and her faithfulness, and I knew if she said we needed to do that, we needed to do that. So I'm going to stop for just a minute and tell a little story that might ring a bell with some of you longtime St. Timothy members. We did not have a minister, so we were searching for someone to marry us, and after several unsuccessful attempts, one church told us that they couldn't marry us unless we were members of their church. And we got in touch with Paul Cook, who was the minister here at St. Timothy at that time. And he agreed to talk to us, and we had a discussion and several, and then he agreed to marry us, and he did. And although we did not come to St. Timothy right away, it was several years later, but Annette decided at that point, rather than send the tithe to a church she had some time ago been attending in Fort Worth, that we started sending it here to St. Timothy. And then after we came and joined here, we found out that there had been great curiosity about those strangers who were sending money over to St. Timothy.
That was a 12-year period of time.
Okay. In any case, in the years, we did start tithing right away. I joined her, and she had already been tithing. But in the years since we started tithing, we've made three changes in our tithing. The first came about one Sunday here at St. Timothy when I heard a testimony about the first fruits. And this lady said that as soon as she got her check, her paycheck, she wrote her tithe check right away so that she would not run out of money toward the end of the month and not be able to make her tithe, okay? And although we had not experienced that, we decided that was a good idea. So we started writing our check on the first Sunday of the month rather than at the end of the month. And the second change came about when we heard a sermon here. Pastor Russenhaven delivered a sermon on what amount we should be basing our tithe on, the full amount of our income. And we went home and examined ourselves for that, and we changed because up to that point, we had been tithing on our income after taxes. And we changed and decided to tithe on our gross income. The third reason is a sentimental one. I told you that Annette's mother continued to tithe throughout her life. At the end of her life, she was in a Medicaid facility, and the only money she ever got for herself from her income after that was $60, which they let you have. I think they call it haircut money. And but she insisted that we, she always insisted that she, we give $6 of that as her tithe. And after Annette's mother passed away, she, Annette has continued to add that $6 to our tithe every Sunday. And we think that would make Florence very happy. I'm going to close with a scripture. And my understanding that this scripture is the only scripture in the Bible where God asks us to test him. This is Malachi 3:10, the NIV version. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys very much. From our text today, we've learned a lot of things. One of the things that Jesus reminds us of is that tithing is important, money's important. It's important for many, many reasons. But it is also important to make sure that it's in balance. Because what Jesus said in that scripture was, make sure it stays in balance with justice, mercy, faith, and love. So, it's important for us to recognize that money plays a key role in all of our lives. It plays a key role in how we exist in this world, and it plays a key role in how we live out our Christian faith. Don't be too legalistic. Don't get caught up in that, and do it in balance with justice, mercy, and faith. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.